your island, live and local with your host, Tom Shalero on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back as we round third, heading up to that 2 o'clock hour. And we're going to finish up our program today, I'm telling you, with something I just learned a little bit about a little while ago. And many of you know, as you know, I introduce 2 o'clock is Breaking It Down with the great Frank McKay. And he'll be following our show again today. But we have him on the line right now. Frank is, I'm going to call him an adventurist, just somebody who's out there, wants to see the world, has seen the world, probably traveled more than 99% of the people in this country, experiencing a lot of different incidences that have happened to him. He's just an unbelievable person, somebody that I envy to do something like what he does. But he just came back from a trip from Central America, visiting some of the countries down there, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, a lot of time we've been talking about our borders here, the southern border down there by Tijuana, the southern border in Texas and California and New Mexico and all of that. But Frank's going to tell us a little bit about a border incident down there in Central America. Frank McKay, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Tom. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, this recent trip, I mean, I found this fascinating, and I know the folks will, too, because, again, many of us listen to you at 2 o'clock, and, you know, you're on the air quite a bit, and just some of the great shows that you put forth. But this incident that took place, and when I heard it from you, I have to say I was a little frightened for you. You know, we don't think of it. You know, we live in this great country of ours, but sometimes things happen in other countries that even though we think we're Americans, we think we're immune to it. Now, this recent trip that you were on, how many countries did you visit?
6 countries. I went from Guatemala to El Salvador to Honduras to Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and ended up ultimately in Panama. All of Central America except Belize. I just couldn't get up there.
Right. You know, interesting. I mean, that's a wonderful, beautiful trip. I understand the countryside is beautiful down there. This is what people tell me, and I'm sure you'll tell us a bit about that also. But again, you were crossing now into, was it Nicaragua from Honduras? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. You were crossing
from Honduras, into the Nicaragua. And, you know, at each one of these countries, you have a border crossing situation, as you would imagine.
Yes.
And the reason I took a bus, I mean, originally I was going to rent a car and try to ride it across, and everybody told me it's just a terrible idea that they'll shake you down at the borders.
Really?
Every one of those borders, you know, they'll ask for a certain amount of money or they'll keep you there for hours.
Wow.
So I took a bus, something called a Tika bus, and it's like a Greyhound. They call it a luxury bus. But it's not what we would consider a luxury bus around here. But still, it was fine for what it was. At one point, I was on the bus for 38 hours straight, and
wow.
And I got on in El Salvador, San Salvador, which is a scary city, by the way. You'll notice, like even walking into a convenience store, that they have a guy outside with a machine gun. I mean, just about every different place that you go, there's automatic weapons in the hands of not trained police officers, mind you, but, you know, guys that, you know, just need a couple of bucks. And you know, sometimes I saw a couple of guys, like one to help hold the door for like a pretty girl, and he's running, and this automatic weapon is like swinging around his neck. It's unbelievable. Guatemala was like that, and certainly El Salvador was like that. So 3:30 in the morning, I got on a Tika bus to continue this journey, and I stayed on until Panama City. But the drama, dramatic moment, really was from going from Honduras into Nicaragua.
So you cross the border, the bus crosses the border, and you know, many of us who have crossed the border from Mexico into let's say Southern California, pretty much aware of what we do here in this country. You know how you do those type of border crossings. As we know, there's legal entry points into the United States, and I think it's interesting. Your story is interesting because of the dynamic of crossing borders from other countries that lead into the United States. Like this story that you're about to tell and what took place. When did you know that something might not be so correct here when you crossed in and you're on the bus?
Well, the first thing that happened when we got in there, they got us all off the bus, and they called in, I'd say, about half the men on the bus. I'm guessing that there were 50, 60 people there. I got to know most of them, you know, the long travels, really nice people, I got to say that. a lot of really poor folks, and you know, I guess they're middle class. I mean, certainly you're not rich and traveling like that. But, you know, you're sleeping, you know, in the seat next to the guy. You're using the same restroom. You're eating. By the way, I think it's $145 for that trip, and they give you three meals a day. They get like this big package of meals from a restaurant that they stop out and they hand it to you. So for $145, right, you're eating and traveling in six different countries, and they're doing this. It's a bargain. Not that the food is all that great where the travel's at.
Right, okay.
The bathroom conditions really aren't, you know, like as soon as they run out of paper or water, they just kind of leave it go.
Oh, God.
You know, I can't say a lot for them on that end. But one of the things that hit me was that they called all of these folks off. And again, they all were men. And for all I know, they all came from, you know, a single region, you know, of the trip. And they walked off and, you know, nobody seemed panicked. They just walked off and they went into a building at the crossing there. And the rest of us kind of baked in the sun for about 2 hours. And I was walking around taking pictures, and there's, you know, people selling, you know, crappy food on the side there, and there's a lot of stray dogs and all kinds of things. And I was just taking pictures to kind of kill time. And I guess I got loopy from taking the pictures. And from walking around in 95 degree heat, right?
Yeah, 95.
And,
wow.
at one point, a guy comes and he's in uniform as a border crosser. I sent you the picture of him.
Yes.
And he's got a whole handful of passports.
Yes.
Passports and everything. I'm the only American on there, so he's got all these different passports, and he's handing them out. And foolishly, and again, I take full responsibility for it, I snapped a picture of the guy because I thought it was just an interesting scene going on. And I must have been loopy from the sun. And he saw that, and it infuriated him. And he told me, he asked me for the camera, you know, the iPhone. And he said, how do I erase it or whatever? And I went there, and we erased it. And he pointed over, and he said, wait there. He finished giving out the passports to all these guys. He said, you come with me, or whatever, and made motion. And as I was
So you're actually being taken into custody on the at the Nicaraguan – oh, no, the Honduras border. You're in Honduras.
But this was Nicaragua.
Nicaraguan
official.
Okay.
So this is officially in Nicaragua.
In Nicaragua,
but as we crossed over from Honduras. So he's walking over, and then he walks over to a guy and finds my passport. It's the only U.S. passport. And he said, Francis. You know, it's my given name. So he's pointing to me to where to go. And I'm apologizing to him profusely. I said, I was stupid. I'm sorry I took the picture. And I can't say the words, but, you know, he said only five words I think he knew in English were, shut your effing mouth.
Yeah.
And
not very polite. Not very polite.
No,
I have to say.
Very nasty way.
Wow.
And he pointed me in and urged me to go in. Not physically, you know, but he urged me to go in to this, like, you know, this interrogation room. And they were about
Frank, I'm
going to
ask you this. So did you have a little fear? Because I think I would have been a little fearful at that point.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, I was very nervous. I was trying not to be overly nervous, but I was apologizing, you know. I don't know, to the point of begging, but I was apologizing.
Right.
And then they told me to sit in this one chair, and they said, what other name do you go by, Francis? You know, some other guy asked, and I said, Frank McKay. And there was some guy feverishly looking on a computer, and he had like two computers there, and he's looking and looking at different things. And then the main guy was like, oh, so you like taking pictures. What are you taking pictures of? Who are you to take, you know, an effing picture? And I said, I apologize. I just wasn't thinking. It was stupid. And he pushes this desk out of the way, and he has a fist. His right hand is in a fist, and he comes like marching towards me. So I just turned my cheek, figure, let me get the shot on the jaw rather than the...
You think that was an intimidating factor, that he was trying to indicate to you that he was going to physically assault you? Did you get that impression that that's what his intent was?
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt,
I just assumed I was getting punched, you know, the way he came over. I think anybody listening to this would have assumed that I was going to get a punch in the face right there.
Right.
And so he marched over... And I can't say he raised his hand because I don't remember. The guy behind the computer like screamed out alto 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 or something like that, which I think means stop stop. And he called the guy over, and they're looking at the computer, and they all kind of went around, and they're looking there. And then they're looking at the paperwork that I just filled out, my disclosure form, that right. I don't have animals, I don't have, I haven't touched animals, whatever. I haven't, I don't have money over $10,000, you know, I don't have this, that type of thing. And they said, get over here. Come here now. He said, why didn't you disclose that you're a journalist? And I said, because I'm not a journalist.
Right.
And they said, really? And they turned the computer to me, and they turned the other computer, and they have pictures of me all in front of microphones. And
well,
and
yes, I know if you put your name in or my name in, LA News Radio comes up, pictures of the radio station. I know you're in there. I know you and I are actually there together when you were on my show once. That name is up there. That picture comes up. So I would naturally assume that they would think you're a journalist by Googling your name. I guess that's what happened, right?
Yeah, well, definitely. And I think it saved me a punch in the face. And then they started questioning me of what I'm writing about, what's the subject that I'm writing about, and I'm taking his picture. They said the guy's name, I don't know if it was Miguel or whatever, but they said, why did you take Miguel's picture? You know, why? Or, you know, who do you to take it? What are you writing? What story are you writing? And I said, I'm not planning on writing anything. I'm a tourist. I didn't put journalist because I'm not a journalist. I'm, you know, I've written, you know, 8 books, but I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not planning on writing anything. And I said, I apologize. And they kind of softened up, and they're kind of, you know, looking around. And at one point, he said to this guy, and I'm just saying Miguel, it could be a different name, but the guy brought me in, and he waved to me, like, you know, disgusted, you know, like go with him or whatever. So I'm walking outside, and I'm thinking, where the hell is he? The guy's taking me. The guy hates me. I mean, he clearly hates me. And I'm walking out, and the employee of the bus, not the bus driver, but the second guy there that kind of handles the situation with Tika Bus, jumped in, and he knew the guy kind of, and he's saying, amigo, and he's, you know, he's talking to him. He's like pointing to his heart, I guess, maybe like have a heart, you know, like give me a break here. Now, keep in mind, the whole bus is probably waiting for me, and I'm thinking, wow, if they leave, I'm screwed. I'm absolutely screwed. And obviously, if they threw me in a holding cell, I mean, you can imagine what a Nicaraguan holding cell would be. So anyway, he talked him out of it, and I was just saying, I apologize. You know, listen, I'm stupid. I really apologize. And the guy, you know, finally waved his hand, like, go ahead, take him. Just get him out of here, you know, that type of thing. Wow. So he gave me my phone back, and as we were walking, well, and then I asked him, I said, he's got my phone. So he got the phone, and he's walking back, and he said, Francis, you know, it's my name on my passport. He said, Francis, this is Nicaragua. Are you effing crazy? You know, like, don't take anybody's picture. I said, hey, stupid. I don't know. I'm just from the heat or whatever. I said, don't worry, I won't. When I got on the bus, all the other guys had been returned, and, you know, and it's about 2 hours later. I thought everybody was going to kill me. But everybody was very sympathetic. You know, let's keep in mind that half of the guys got dragged off the bus, and I found out now that some of them were strip searched. And the other half were, you know, baking in the sun. They didn't even let us back on the bus for comfort or anything like that. We were just out there for 2 hours. No shade, nothing to go under, no inside structures. It's just kind of a weird thing. So there's one kid in front of me, Fernando, the kid's name, and he said, why they arrest you, Frank? Why that man arrest you, Frank? You took a picture? And I said, yeah. I said, and just in case they had sympathetic people on the bus, I said, my fault completely, stupid. I shouldn't have taken that. And, you know, that was a guy, Marvin, that I was talking to the whole time. Guy lived in Houston for 19 years. Told me that he got strip searched, and a bunch of other guys did, and they were looking for tattoos the guy. Yeah. Now, he was from El Salvador, so maybe they were looking for gang tattoos or cartel tattoos or whatever. I'm sure they had good reason to pull him over. And again, I just maintained the whole time. You know, everybody's sympathetic to me and whatever. But one guy made a real impression on me, this old man from Nicaragua, and he knew immediately when I took the picture that it was going to be problems. And as we were going along, he said, I'm embarrassed for my country. Here you are, you're a, you know, journalist, right? You're a journalist, and you're traveling with us. You're sleeping here with us, and you're eating, and you have a good impression. You're very happy about the, because it's a beautiful countryside, you know, watching this. He said, and then they do this. They go over the top, and now you're going to have to write about this. You're going to have to report. I said, no. I said, I was wrong for taking the picture, and I'm not reporting anything back, but you know, by the way, I retrieved it after it was erased. You know, you can retrieve a deleted picture. That's why
I know you sent it to me, Frank. I got the picture right in front of me right now. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah, he looks like a mean guy, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm still in awe of this story. I mean, it gives you such a great impression of our own country and how we are here, you know, and then you think about what the abuse there, and not only just that, but their crime rates down there are horrendous of what's taking place in a lot of those countries that you traveled in and then having to go through with what you went through. You think a lot of that with the other folks that were on the bus that were strip searched, you think a lot of it had to do with an MS-13 looking at gang members? You think that was a part of it?
You know, that's what I was thinking. I mean, what other tattoo would they have?
Yeah.
I mean, it would either be gang-related or cartel-related. And, you know, look, I'm supportive of law enforcement. So these guys are basically law enforcement down there. And, yeah, I mean, they were over the top with me, but I don't know what was going on prior to that. So the thing is, it's not something I would do. I don't make those kind of mistakes. Like, I'd have to know, you know, like I'm not an idiot, right? I'd have to know that this would cause me some kind of aggravation. And this was, you know, I was very fortunate to get out of this. The old guy that was saying that he was embarrassed for his country said to me later, he said, the jail in that area, he said, if you would have gone there, you would never be the same again. And
wow.
You can imagine what that is. But
yeah.
he said it's a specific jail that they put you in on that border, you know, Nicaragua and Honduras border. And he said it's nasty and it's famous.
At any time during that ordeal, did you think about if they would allow you to call the American embassy or something like that? Did you think? Because usually people in that situation, that would have been the first thing that popped into my mind is where's the embassy and what's the phone number? You know, that's on.
Yeah. Well, they had my phone, and he kept like making like he was going to throw it, you know, like throw it at me. He was treating it like that. Like he was so furious. You know, this is the other guy. This guy, I assumed, was in charge. And, you know, he looked like, you know, like he was trying to be intimidating with it. And, I was going to call, you know, I mean, I know a lot of U.S. senators. I would call the U.S. senator on a cell phone and said, hey, look, I'm being detained down here. See, you know, like what else? But I don't know that they would have let me do anything, you know. But they got, you know, next time I would lead with, I'm a journalist. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm going to, and I gave them my card. They asked me somewhere in the middle of that, and I don't know, remember at what point, they asked me for some credentials, and I just dug through my bag, and they're watching me like I'm going to pull something out or something, you know, and they're watching me like a hawk. And I found a card kind of all creased up, you know, and I handed them my business card where it's, you know, it says Frank McKay Media or whatever. Man. Yeah, but it was a weird ordeal, and you know, it could have been much worse, obviously, I don't even know how I would have gotten out of there if the bus would have taken off. I mean, you're taking your life in your hands by hiring somebody to maybe drive you to Costa Rica, which would be the next country over. But I was very grateful when I got out of there, and I was concerned that they called the heads of their other buddies, you know, because you have to check out also.
That's right.
The exit. You know, I had to do all that, and I was concerned that, you know, maybe they called ahead and said, hey, this guy took pictures, you know, give him a hard time or whatever. So I didn't retrieve that message until I was at the airport in Panama, ready to fly back. So, anyway, it was a great trip. That was a, you know, scary moment there, but it's, you know, again, I take some responsibility for it. I it was dumb to take this guy's pick. I mean, you'd have to see the scene that was there. It was just, we were baking in the baking in the heat. And I took the guy's picture, and immediately it turned into an incident.
Wow. I mean, you know, I'm just listening again. You know, I introduced you as an adventurist, and you certainly are. And you're so well traveled. Is this, would you put this at a high point in terms of incidences that you'll never forget?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple, you know, I've been to 50 countries, all 50 states and 6 continents. You know, I had a bad, I mean, it's a long story, but I had a really bad scene as the war was winding down in Slovenia and Croatia, you know, with the Serbs winning, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah,
and I had a whole situation with that guy, and that was scarier than this. But it was, this is certainly up there. This is in the top 5 of things that I've come across. But the rest of the trip, got to see a lot of wildlife, a lot of monkeys, a lot of, you know, different tours. I spent the last 2 days in a jungle called Jamboa, in Panama. It's about 30 minutes outside the Panama Canal, and we actually took a boat trip. Me and you know the other folks there took a boat trip up the Panama Canal and all kinds of stuff. I highly recommend
What a story! I'll tell you, Frank. Believe it or not, our time is up. But I just found it fascinating. I'm glad you're back safe. And the next time you're on, well, let's go back to something very benign like politics, and we'll talk about that. Once again, Frank McKay, thanks for joining us, Frank. Appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. Now, 2 o'clock hours upon us. What does that mean? That's right. Frank McKay, Breaking It Down, coming up next. I'm your host, Tom Shalero. Thanks for joining us on our midweek special. We will see you all again tomorrow.
These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues.